All right, so the calling of Abraham, God's promises, his mission, and the faith of man. Okay, so those are what we're going to be looking at. Did God call Abraham? Yes, he did. Did he choose Abraham? Yes, he did. Did he give him a mission? Yes, he did. Was Abraham faithful? Some. Boy, oh boy. Did he do it all right? No. And so, but did God have a plan from before the beginning of the world that was going to go through Abraham? Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's called the redemption plan. And Abraham is a big part of that, isn't he? I mean, he's a big part of the redemption plan. We call the nation of Israel the children of Abraham, right? So we know that he plays a big part, and yet he wasn't perfect. He didn't do it all right. He was faithful some of the time, but God used him anyway to do great things. And so guess what we're going to do? We're going to read through this, and then we're going to say, how does that apply to me? And we're going to talk about it, because all the things that God did for Abraham, God's doing for you. Does he have a great plan for your life? Yes, he does. How well are we going to cooperate? That's the question. Okay, so let's take a look. Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter. We got to back up. I did all of chapter 11, but we're going to go back and take a look at some of those things because they're going to be appropriate to what we're going to be talking about today. And so we're going to start there in Genesis chapter 11 and verse 27. So these are the generations of Terah. Now the Terah is Abram at this point. His name is Abram. Is his father. Now we looked at the line last week, right? Coming down on the genealogy all the way through, starting with Noah, going through his son Shem. Okay, there was Shem and Ham and Japheth. And so Shem was the line that was leading to the Redeemer. And so God is working his plan through Noah and then through his son Shem. And we go all the way down the genealogy. We come to Terah, who is the father of Abraham, or Abram at the time. And they live in the Ur of the Chaldeans. Okay, that's where they live. I wish I had a map. I don't, but it's down kind of south and south and east of the promised land of Canaan, where they're going to eventually go, and God has a plan for them. So these are the generations of Terah, and Terah fathered Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran fathered Lot. So how many of you remember the story of Abraham and Lot, right? So this is Abraham's brother, or Abram's brother, Haran, fathered Lot. And they say that here because it's going to be part of the story later. So there's the three brothers. And does God choose them all? No, he doesn't. He only chooses one. So Haran dies in the presence of his father, Terah, in the land of his kindred, in the Ur of the Chaldeans. And again, that's south and east of the promised land. It's over in what is now modern-day Iraq, the Ur of the Chaldeans. And so he gets a message. You're going to see that. So Abram and Nahor, both the two brothers that are left, because the other one died, Haran, the name of Abram's wife was Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Ishka. Sarai was barren, and she had no child. So that's Abram's wife is barren, so she can't have kids. So Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai and his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife, and they went forward together from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, now this is kind of weird because it's the name of his son that died. There's a city up north in modern-day Turkey, and they settled there. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And so here it is. So we see this, and this is not all of the story, though. So here is Abram and his brother, and his brother died, and his brother's son, Lot, and Terah, Abram's father. And for some reason, which we don't really know yet, they are going to leave the Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, if I had the map, I could show you. They go from way down south up over, because there's mountain range down the coastline to the Mediterranean. So the promised land is going to be this. The land that God's going to send them to is the land of Canaan, which we saw earlier that there was a son named Canaan, yeah, from Canaan's people, and they inhabit what is now the promised land or Canaan, and that is the land between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River. Okay, but to get there, they got to go up through the river. the Euphrates River, and they follow it up to this city called Haran. And so Abram and his wife Sarai and his brother and his son Lot and his wife and the dad, it doesn't say anything about his mom, but the dad go up to Haran and they stay there. And the dad dies. You think, well, so why is this part of the story? What did God do? Because they don't really tell you here. So why were they chosen? Why did God choose? Well, let's take a look at this first. And let me read you this in Joshua 24:1. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders before, then the heads and the judge and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, long ago," so this is Joshua, you know, when they came and were conquering the promised land, he's talking to the people of Israel, so the 12 tribes of Israel, and he's going to give them a little bit of a story in history. "Long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham, and of Nahor, and they served other gods. And then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all of the land of Canaan and made his offspring many, and I gave him Isaac." That's what God says. Okay, so was Abraham a man of God when God chose him? No. You know, he says his father and Abraham served other gods. They were idol worshipers. Why then? How could they be worthy if they were idol worshipers? And that was very prevalent in the land at the time. You know, the people had, remember, the people had spread out after the Tower of Babel. And they moved into these areas, and some of them moved eastward and down into this, because it was a good place to live in this place in Iraq. And so, but they had gotten away from God. And there were lots of people, and we followed that through, and we could see that most of the population is spread out, but they no longer serve the God of creation. And so here's this guy, and he's living there with his dad, and he's got two brothers, and one of them dies, and somehow God is saying, "Nope, I have a plan for you. Even though you are evil, even though you are not one of mine, even though you are worshiping other gods, I choose. Because it's my plan. Because I'm sovereign." So does it when God chooses people, is it based on their own qualifications? Is it based on, there's somebody that's a leader for you. Oh man, is that how it works? Doesn't. Think about that. So God chooses Abraham out of this three boys, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Why? Were they worthy? Were they godly? No. But they come through the line that God has established, a sacred line from Adam to the Redeemer, through Seth, through Shem. So we saw that in Joshua 24, 1 through 3. And then God calls them. So first they were chosen, and then they're called. So let's read that. We see this in the book of Acts. And we see Stephen says, "Brothers and fathers," so this is Acts 7, this is Stephen before he was stoned, obviously, speaking to the Jews. And he says, "Brothers and fathers, hear me." So he's speaking to his fellow Jews. "The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran," where they went up to the city of Haran before they came back down into the promised land. When he lived in Haran, and then he said to him, "Go out of your land and from your kindred and go to the land that I will show you." And so he left the land of the Chaldeans and went to live in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from Haran and into the land in which you, talking to these people, are now living. Okay, so where was he when he got the call? He was still in the Ur of the Chaldeans, right? Okay, so here's God. God says, number one, I chose you. Two, I called you. Were you called? Well, we're going to talk about that. But when did he call him? Did he call him when he had left and was up in Haran? No, he called him when he was still down in the Ur of the Chaldeans. But we don't hear that. In Genesis, it doesn't tell us that. So here's what we're going to say. So it says, you know, in 1132, the days of Haran were 205 years, and he died in Haran. So Terah, Abram's father, had taken Abram and his brother and his brother's son Lot and his and their wives, and they went up there. Well, what God said was, no, I want you to go to Canaan. That's what I'm telling you. Did they do it? Nope. So was Abraham faithful to God? When God says, look, you're still here in the Ur of the Chaldeans. I've chosen you. Now I'm calling you, and here's what I want you to do. I am sending you to the land that I'm going to promise to give you and your descendants. And boy, they just pack up the stuff, and off they go, and they get about halfway, and they find this city called Haran thing. This is pretty nice. Let's just stay here. Or maybe Adam or Abram's father really wasn't on board with the whole mission and saying, you know what, I'm too old. This is a good place. Let's just stay here for a while. So they were there for a while. And they weren't doing what God has said. So how did they know? So we see in verse 20 or chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred, or leave your family, leave your country, leave your family and your father's house, and go to the land that I will show you. Now, this is actually, see, it sounds like when you read it out of here, it sounds like he's already in Haran, and that's where he's being told to go down to Canaan. It's not true. He was told before he left the Ur of the Chaldeans, and he didn't honor God's command. So did God still use him? Yeah. So did God say, well, what a loser. I told you to go up, you have to go up to get around the mountains, you got to go up here and come back down, and you didn't do it. So did he honor God? Was he faithful? Oh, was he this, you know, we see him, we're going to look at this in Hebrews chapter 11, heroes of the faith. And he tells you there in Hebrews 11, all the wonderful things that Abram did in faith to God. Well, there's a whole bunch of them things he didn't do. Does that sound like us? Unfortunately, it does. Okay, so we see that, and they were called, and they were still living in the Ur of the Chaldeans, and they were told to go, but they didn't go because they were only partially faithful. They left. They left their homeland down in the Ur of the Chaldeans, and they went up to this town of Haran, and then they just hang out there until finally Abram's father dies, and he decides, well, maybe I should go ahead and do what God's asking me to do. Because God had told Abram, in verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and those who dishonor you, I will curse. In you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God chose Abram, God called Abram, and then God gave promises to Abram. So here's the promises. I will make you a great nation. I will make your name great. Have you remember that one? Can we think back to the Tower of Babel, and they were going to make that city, and why? So we can make a name for ourselves and be great. Well, God's telling Abram, I am going to do this. So was that God's plan to make that city and make people? No. God says, I have a plan, and I'm going to do it my way because I'm sovereign. And I'm going to call you out. I'm going to choose you. I'm going to call you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you these promises. Here is what I am going to do. I am going to make you a great nation. I am going to bless you and make your name great. I am going to bless you, and I'm going to curse those who dishonor you, and through you, I will bless all the people in the world. And what was he talking about right there? It's Jesus, right? Through you, I'm going to bring the Redeemer. And he's going to be a blessing to all people and provide a way to be reconciled back to God. That is God's plan of redemption, which the thread of which weaves all the way through Scripture and starts in the Garden of Eden. And so here is God with his plan that he started before he created all things, and it's weaving its way through the people that he has chosen, that he has called, that he has gifted, and one of those people is Abram. So Abram starts out, he isn't really all that faithful. He doesn't do what God tells him right away. He goes ahead and he lives with his father up in Haran until his father dies, and then finally he's going to come back down. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. So how did he hear? How did he hear? What do you think? How did he know? It says in here, the Lord said to Abram. How did he know? Does God talk to you? Well, we don't know. I mean, clearly God talked to Moses with the burning bush, and through most that we see in Scripture and in Genesis, God speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden, and they're having conversations. So maybe the whole way that God communicates to people was a little bit different, but it's pretty clear that this was not something that just maybe came to him in a dream. This was, I mean, he was pretty, no, this is what God wants. It's very clear. Very clear when God says, now, did he have Scripture to read? No, hadn't been written yet. And so God is communicating, but he's making it very clear to this person, I have a plan for your life, and here's the deal. I want you to go, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to make a great nation from you. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to bless you and curse those who don't bless you, and I am going to bless all people in the world. Now, were those conditional promises? Did God say, I'm going to do this, but only if you do this? Nope. That's not how it works. Are there some conditional promises? Yes, there are. But God had this plan, and was he dependent? Is God up there thinking, well, boy, there's some really great things I want to do. I sure hope they can do the things I need them to do, or else, boy, the whole thing's going to just fall apart. Is that the way it worked? Did that happen with the water? Does it depend on us? If God has a plan, does it depend on us? No. See, God isn't worrying about making sure that his plan is going to happen because he's God. Where is this all going? God called Abram. God chose Abram. God promised Abram things that did not depend on Abram's performance. So Abram goes, takes his wife Sarai and his Lot, his brother's son, all their possessions that they had gathered. This is in verse 5. And the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan, which God had told them to do from the very beginning, and they didn't do. And when they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, and at that time, the Canaanites were in possession of the land. And then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give this land. And so there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And from there he moved to the hill country to the east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent there with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there again he built another altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, going south towards the Negev. So basically what this is telling us is he calls him, and he goes, and he travels all the way from top to bottom to which is going to be the promised land so that God could show him what his inheritance would look like. And he celebrates, and he honors God, and he builds altars twice to say, thank you, God, I'm going to praise you, and I'm going to give you all of the blessing here, and I am going to honor you and worship you. Okay. Now, so here's Abram. He's been chosen. He's been called. He's been promised. And he goes. And God shows him the entire breadth and width and vision of his inheritance. And what does Abram do? Does he become one of the heroes of the faith? Does he do some amazing things? Does he then begat a family that becomes God's people, the nation of Israel? Does he do all of those things? Yes. Okay. So God had done some things. How does that apply to you and me? God chose Abraham. Did he choose you? John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. "And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask my Father in my name, he may give it to you." So did God choose you? Yes, he did. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God chose you before the foundation of the world. We're going to look at that. And so in Ephesians 1, verse 4, it says this, "Even he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and blameless before him." So not only did he choose you, but he chose you before he created anything. Did he call you like he called Abraham? Now, did he come out and speak? How many of you felt God or heard God actually speak to you personally and say, "Come on in, I want you to be a child of God"? I'm not sure that happened. Didn't happen with me. But were you called? Does God still do it that way, or does he do it a different way? Let's take a look in Scripture and see, and it says in Romans, "For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." That's Romans 8:29. "In order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And to those he called, he also justified. And to those whom he justified, he also glorified." So were you chosen? Yes. Before the foundation of the world. Were you called? Yes, it said those he predestined, those he knew ahead of time, those he chose, he also called. And so we look at that and we think, okay, there was some sort of a process that happened, and I heard the gospel message somehow, some way, and it resonated within me, and somehow I came, I was called, and God says, "I drew you, and all that the Father gives me, I draw to me." And so, yes, you were called, and that was God's plan in your life, and it wasn't dependent upon your performance. It was based on what God was doing in your life. What am I trying to tell you? That you were saved by God, you were called by God, you were chosen by God, and you're being held by God, and I hope that gives you confidence. It seems like, you know, there was a decision made for sure, but here's what it says in Titus Chapter 3, verse 5, "He saved us." He saved us. He, God, saved us, not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. What that's trying to tell us is, yes, there was a decision being made, but it also tells us that in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, 12, "None is righteous, no, not even one. No one understands, no one seeks after God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless, for no one does good, not even one." See, we're trying to understand, can I be an Abraham? Even when I'm not faithful, even when I wasn't looking for God, yes, because God, look, he chose you, he called you, and he saved you. And he did that through the promises that he's given us that can never fade or go away. In 2 Peter 1:4, "By which he has granted us to us these precious and great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world because of your sinful desires." Were we given promises? This is 199, but there are more. And so, were we chosen? Were we called? Were we worthy? No. Were we given promises that can never be taken away? And were they conditional? No. And so what is God asking us to do? What does God say? If we're going to follow the example of Abraham, what is God expecting from us now? In faith, Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 8, by faith Abram obeyed when he was called to go out of a place that he received as an inheritance to a place that he received as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land that he was promised, in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs to him of the same promise, for he was looking forward to a city that has foundations, whose builder and designer is God. Okay. See, it's easy to read the story and think, man, he's a hero. They mentioned him in the Bible. There are 14 chapters in Genesis talking about God's use of Abraham as a tool in his plan. What I'm trying to tell you is your history, your destiny is exactly the same. God chose you. God called you. God saved you. God made promises to you. And now God is saying what? Go. Go. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean I'm supposed to go and find some other, you know, go become a missionary somewhere else? No, not necessarily. Can it mean that? Sure. But what is God saying? In faith, I want you to abandon the security, just like I asked Abraham, to abandon the security of his homeland, to abandon the security of living within his family, and go and do what I'm telling you in faith, for I have a plan for you that no one can change, not even you. But here's what I want from you, so that you can experience and see me do wonderful things through your life. You have to give it up and go. And so what that means is I have to let go of myself. I have to abandon myself. I have to die to myself and give myself to God, and I can be another Abraham just like you. There's only one thing that stops us. There's only one thing that stops us from God working miraculous things in your life, and that is you and me. The promises are there. I've been saved. I've been inhabited by God's Holy Spirit. I've been gifted by the things that He said I would have, and He has an abundant plan for my life if only I will give up trying to do it my way, myself, my power. So we look around, we can say, look, I know Bill's, with just a couple opportunities, all I have to do is just be willing. And God is bringing people into his life to say, yes, here's a person that you can work with. Here's a person that you can share with. God has got a plan for you. And all we have to do is go, just like he said to Abraham. Now, we don't have to actually walk up to Haran and then down to Canaan. We just have to get out of our own comfort zone and go out there into the world and use the tools that God has given us, give him all of the outcomes, and in faith, live a life sacrificially loving others. That's what God wants for us. And within that plan, within this thing, it certainly isn't easy, right? We know that. We know Abram didn't, it wasn't an easy thing, but that is where the abundant life lies. But you have to give it up, and you have to be another Abraham. So, can I be an Abraham? Absolutely. Let's pray. Father, this is we read this in its history, and we look at it as just a story most of the time. But this really is an example of how you work in the lives of your people, doing it your way. And we so desperately want to be in control all the time, and so we miss it. And we have to recognize, Lord, that since we're yours, we don't belong to ourselves anymore. And that all you really require is to have faith and go. And give you the outcomes. And Father, we just pray that you do that. There's some unbelievable things that you can do with the people that are sitting in this room. You've already saved most of them, or maybe all of them, I don't know. But Lord, you can make our lives a miracle if we just give them to you 100%. So Lord, that's what I'm asking. I'm asking for myself to see what you'll do in my life and through my life and the lives of the people that sit here, that come here. Most of them, you know, maybe every week. And then we got to go out there and be in the rest of the world the rest of the week. And Lord, are we really giving you all of our time and really looking for your plan? In order to do that, we need to be doing it in faith. So Lord, I just pray you give us that kind of faith and make us an Abraham in our own world. In Jesus' name, amen.